Hello, and another little chat, which is becoming quite a weekly thing at the moment, which is good. I'm just marching along a lane that sometimes go along with Lottie, and you might hear the crunch of things under my boots. That's hazelnuts that have fallen from the trees. A lot of hedgerows along here have got a lot of hazel growing in them, and they're all quite tall at the moment because the farmers don't cut the hedges whilst birds could be nesting. I think a lot of tourists find them quite daunting to drive through at this time of year because it's a bit like going to a little tunnel on the Devon Lanes. We don't really have anything in the way of grass verges or anything at the side. Instead, there's these people call a Devon Bank, which is kind of a banked up earth and stones with a hedge growing on top. So they get quite tall and there's nowhere really to go if you meet anybody. So we have people walking the dogs, people with kids, horses and ponies and things trotting along, and of course cars with local people and tourists alike sort of zipping backs and forwards, and occasionally delivery vans, sometimes lost, sometimes sent the wrong way by their sat navs, which is something that occurs a few times in the Devonshire Mysteries, and that's in there. Go on, Lottie, up the stairs. She's going up some rather crooked stone stairs into a public footpath. And that's because it's a fact of life. Happens all the time. Less so now. I think the sat navs are getting better all the time, and it's not so bad. But in fact, in this very lane, once a van pulled over to the side and said to the looked at the road and in a rather dispirited voice said to me, does this lane go anywhere? I don't know how long he'd been driving around, but he sounded as though he had come to believe that he was going to get nowhere on this narrow lane. But I was able to assure him he would get back to the road and civilization if he kept going. But yeah, you get kind of used to them, although having lived here almost 25 years, there are still loads of lanes and little ways that I don't know and that I find quite confusing. You know, the signposts and things are there, dotted around, not as many as perhaps would be really useful. But it can seem a bit disorientating when you see a town is only sort of, you know, a few miles away, and yet you feel as though you're somewhere totally other and heading in the wrong direction. But anyway, I've just come up onto a hill now, which is full of life at the moment because it's not used by animals other than wild ones. So the grass is tall and the wildflowers and things are springing up all over the place, and it's rather warm, it's rather a little sun trap, so I'm going to have to take my jacket because it's a partly cloudy day, so I wore an extra layer just in case, but I'm really going to have to take it off. But just carry on, show must go on. So, sorry about that. Okay. So it's beautiful. There's lots of butterflies fluttering about. Various wildflowers, a lot of which I don't know. And a few that I do. But some nice purpley looking ones at the moment. They look almost like cornflowers, but I really don't know what they are. Anyway, you don't tune in to hear me talking about that, or maybe you did, I don't know. Maybe it's the bits of real life that make it worth listening to, I don't know. Do feel free to let me know what you like. If you go to my site, if you're a member of the site, then you can leave comments at michaelcampling.com, or you can contact me via the contact page. My email address is on there, and let me know. Also, let me know if there's anything you'd like to know about at all in terms of writing or in terms of kind of the writing life or, you know, or living here. Give me a shout and let me know, and I'll be able to answer your questions. Okay. So, sorry if I'm a bit out of breath, it's quite warm, we're going up a hill, but we'll keep going. Lossie's puffing away, so we'll keep marching on. So it's interesting, I thought I'd mention today, I picked up a Peter Robinson book from a second-hand shop. The Inspector of Banks, or Chief Superintendent, I think he is in this book, it's one of the later ones. And I read a couple of them many, many years ago, already. I tried to think how long ago, you know, maybe 20 years ago or something. I don't know. And quite liked them, and then kind of went off them. But I saw this one in a second-hand bookshop and picked it up. I was quite surprised to find that his, I believe, fictional town is called Eastvale. I thought, oh gosh, that sounds a bit like Embervale, my fictional one. But it's always a bit horrifying when you discover that somebody else's thing could sound a bit like yours. And, oh, golly. How's that happened? I don't think I would have remembered the name of his town from all those years ago. As I say, it was quite a surprise to see it. It's just a name that I came up with. Did some scribbling. There is a place called Embercombe, not that far away, and I think I took the Ember part from that. Not much there. I don't know if there's even much of a village there, actually. There's like a hall that's used for events, functions and things. Privately, you know. I believe. And I haven't got my... you know, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, but I'm pretty sure Coombe it means something like a valley. Or a vale. I'd have to check that. It occurs quite a lot in Devon place names. So we've got sort of Babbacombe, Maidencombe, spelt C-O-M-B-E, but pronounced Coombe. It crops up in other places as a place called Combentenehead, which has sort of got a bit of the Coombe in it, and then it's got Teen, which is the river, and then Head, because it's like headland, I suppose, near the mouth of the river. It's on the other side of the Teen from Tynmouth, which is mouth of the Teen, of course. Anyway. Yeah, but I didn't use Coombe in the name, partly because I thought, you know, there is that difficulty in explaining something. You don't want to pick names and things for people or places that need explaining or that nobody knows how to pronounce, in my opinion. So yeah, I didn't go for anything Coombe, or I remember thinking about it, but I took the Ember part and just thought, you know, Embervale had a nice ring to it. Sounded like quite a nice friendly village name. So that was good. I'm sure I looked at a few different possibilities. So I tend to do these things, sort of brainstorm them. In the new book, which still doesn't have a title, I am using quite a lot of real street names in Exeter, which is a bit of a change, but you know, the maps are there online for me to look at, and I know the sort of the centre of the city reasonably well. It's our nearest sort of city and place for shops and theatres and cinemas and things like that. So, or big shops anyway, there are smaller shops nearer, but yeah. So that's quite interesting. I'm going to stick to making up all the cafes and pubs and things. Because I don't want anybody to feel aggrieved that their place has been used. But I thought, why not use the streets and the setting? Make it, you know, a part of the story. Got some nice historic parts, and part of the history of Exeter is involved in the story. Yeah, and there's some references to the Baedeker Blitz, which not sure if I've chatted about this before, but the Baedeker guidebooks were tourist guidebooks of European cities, I believe, at the time of, well, I'm not sure when they began and ended, but they were popular for many years, and certainly during, they existed during the Second World War. They're mentioned in one of those Merchant Ivory films, I think A Room with a View. Somebody says, I never go anywhere that my Baedeker. Got a memory of it being Judi Dench saying that. Anyway, so yeah, they had very detailed maps of European cities, which was very handy for the Luftwaffe, and they decided they would like to bomb them. So they picked places that they thought would sort of demoralise the British people by hitting cultural centres and religious centres and things like that. So they aimed for cathedrals and so on, some of which were destroyed. Exeter Cathedral escaped. I believe there was some damage, but certainly bits of Exeter were flattened. Although it's not a sort of major industrial place or anything like that, I don't know about at the time, I guess these things changed quite a bit. But yeah, certainly there was a lot of bomb damage to housing areas and other areas around the place. So that is referenced in the book a bit and helps to form some of the background. Yeah, but I hope introduced in a gentle way so it doesn't intrude on the story, it's just there as background. It's not like there's an agenda to that or anything, it's just, it is part of the history of the place, so feels right to mention it and draw on it. Lottie just sneezing, she wades through the grass. Anyway, so yeah, you might find that interesting, the idea there's a bit of reality going on, and when you finally get the book in your hands, if you want to go and look at a map of Exeter, you can. You'll be able to see where things happen. I will take some liberties, I expect, with it. Oops, he fell over. With the geography. It's very uneven ground here, so watch what I'm going, sort of blathering away. But yeah, on the whole, I think the real street names and so on add something to it. I mentioned before, of course, in the very first one, in Study in Stone, we've got the Royal and Albert Memorial Museum in there, and Sidwell Street, and the legend of St. Sidwell, which are all, you know, based on real parts of history, genuine parts of history, let's say, because obviously the saint thing is kind of in the myths and legends territory. Springs forming and so on. Well, there are springs, and there are also mention of the Exeter passages, which are underground tunnels, which bring water into, or were built to bring water into the city a long, long, long time ago, and which you can visit and go down. And they are, those passages are referenced very briefly in A Study in Stone, but they form a major part of Witch Darkening Stone book. Trying to think if it's, yeah, it's Outcast, isn't it? Yeah, Outcast, because Scadderstone is partly takes place in France, which also references some real places. Yeah. So, mixture of real and imagined in my books, you'll generally find. Got to do kind of what serves the story, really. What makes sense, what adds detail and richness without bogging people down. Yeah. So, anyway, I've been getting back on with that novel. And after a slow start, but I do seem to be picking up the pace with it again. It's funny how these things come and go. Some people seem to be able to write very consistently, kind of churning stuff out, it feels like. And they're lucky. I have days like that, and I have days, excuse me, I have days when it just it doesn't seem to go. But you just got to try and get on and see what you can get done. Sort of work through it if you can, and take a break if you can't. But you know, I'll keep chugging away. Oh, and the audiobook is on stores now, most stores. It's not on Amazon yet. They seem to be dragging their heels a little bit. But it will be on Amazon soon. So, because there are so many audiobook stores and at libraries and things. Oh, just trying to charge through some bracken here. Bracken's terrible stuff. It takes over. Nothing eats it. Just gets in the way. Oh, there goes a thrush. Okay, so, yes, what was I saying? Audiobooks. So the easiest thing is, if you have places where you get audiobooks, if you just search for A Study in Stone, you should see it. And I haven't got any giveaway codes or anything yet. That will happen, I hope, after it gets put onto Amazon, on Audible, on the actual Amazon store. Both. It will be on both those places. And I'll be keen to sort of get a few copies to keen reviewers. And it might be worth checking in your library service if you check out audiobooks from libraries. Have a look, because I see that a couple of copies have gone out to libraries already, which is nice. Big believer in libraries. We'll try and support them and keep using them if we can. Very valuable. I'm sure a lot of us had our lives changed by reading and by having access to free books in libraries when we were kids. So I heard a writer the other day, it's quite a big name writer, who was it? Karen Slaughter, I believe, on a podcast, and she was saying how she went to libraries and libraries, she used a phrase something like, libraries taught me how to be human or something like that. I thought it was a really nice phrase. The idea that, you know, you can become a more rounded person through having access to loads of books to read. Totally agree with that. Nice way of putting it. Okay, kind of getting to the end of this field. I think I've chatted for just about long enough to exhaust your patience. But please do think about getting any questions to me. Usually people are kind of polite and they think, oh, I don't want to bother anybody, I won't, you know, go posting my questions. But, you know, I'm happy to get them. It gives me something I can talk about as well. So it's actually helpful to what people would like to know. The only thing is that I do try and not give any spoilers. So if you wanted to ask about something in a particular book, I might be able to discuss it in a roundabout kind of way. But I don't want to give too many details in case somebody is reading that book or wants to read it. So, I will sign off and wend my way home, and then get back to the old keyboard and crack on with getting some more words down. Because it's going to take a little while, this book, I feel. But I hope it'll be worth it. I mean, Mystery May took me longer than I expected, and I was pretty pleased with that at the end. I thought it gave quite a lot of depth to the whole Dan and Alan, you know, scenario. I think it added quite a bit to it. There's quite a lot going on. And that's what I've got to do. I've got to keep adding and trying to bring something new to you guys. Something new and fresh. We don't want it to get stale or be more of the same. Which I know partly more of the same is nice. It's comforting. It's familiar. It's, you know what you're going to get. You want to carry on, you've enjoyed a series, you don't want it to suddenly radically change, you know, I totally understand that. And but at the same time, I think you want to have something a little bit extra, you want to know a bit more about the characters, you want them to develop a bit, you want the scope of the thing to sort of branch out a little bit. As long as it doesn't stray too far, I think that's all good. Okay, so thank you for listening, thank you for your encouragement and support. Big thank you to all the supporters on the Coffee page who have tipped me, you know, a mug of tea or more in some cases, for people being very generous. But any little thing is great, as is just the totally free thing of telling somebody you've liked the book or posting a review, anything like that is always great. I do always say, just an extra thing to note, I do always say in the back of my books, you know, I put an FAQ thing, I put, will you talk to my reading group? And I put, yeah, you know, if we can work that out, we could do it online. Or if the time difference is too much to figure out, because you meet on like US time or something, and I'd be like 2 o'clock in the morning, then I could always record a little talk answering questions from the group. You know, somebody from the group could send me questions, I could answer them, record it, and then send you a link to that. And it could be like an unlisted YouTube video or something, so it'd just be for you. Okay. Well, I'll leave it at that. So thanks again, and look after yourselves. Take care, and goodbye.